we are going to continue our study of book of John, the book of John. John chapter 4. Last night, we finished our study from verse 1 to verse 42. Right. John chapter 4. From 43 to the end is talking about a nobleman's son is healed, the healing of the second miracle performed by Jesus Christ in verse 55. Verse 46. So came again into Canaan, a Galilee, where he had met the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was a official whose son was ill. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This official asked for Jesus to heal his son. And in his concept that Jesus has to come down to his house the sickness of his son can be cured. But instead of going to this person's house, Jesus promised that his son is going to be cured. Verse 50. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the words that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. Verse 51. As he was going down, his servant met him and told him that his son was living. Verse 52. So he asked them the hour when he began to mend. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever had left him." Verse 53. And the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So from the incident, we understand that even Jesus did not go there, but the miracle still can happen. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is everywhere. He is God himself. So his power is everywhere. So as long as Jesus waiting, everything could happen in every corner in the world. So this incident try to tell us a few things. The first thing is Jesus has authority over everything in the world. So we call him the Lord, L-O-R-D, right? And last few years we tried to educate the members, when we call Jesus, we add the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ, either way to show our reverence to him. If we want to think about something deeper, you call Lord Jesus, how come you add a Lord? When we add a Lord, it's trying to remind us our relationship with Jesus Christ is just a Lord and a servant. The Lord and servant. So Every time we say the Lord Jesus Christ, we admit in front of Him, He has authority over us. So this is the meaning we call Jesus the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control of everything. So Jesus can do anything if He is waiting. So all your problem, Jesus can do something for you if He is waiting. So the question is not whether Jesus can do it or not. The question is whether He is waiting or not. That it will be the question. So this Father asked for the mercy of Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered, your son will live. At that right moment, his son started to get better. The second point is, even Jesus did not go there, they can receive the grace of God. So what does that really mean to us? Surely, a lot of people receive Holy Spirit in the church during the spiritual convocation, because so many people pray in here, and the prayer is so powerful, and always God is working mightily during the spiritual convocation or NYTS. But that doesn't mean when there is no spiritual convocation, when you are not in the church, your prayer has no effect. No, because God is everywhere. Still, we have quite a few of the members, they pray for the Holy Spirit at home by themselves, and they receive Holy Spirit, right? I believe some of you receive Holy Spirit when you are alone at home, pray by yourself. So God is everywhere. He has authority to solve all our problems as long as we come to seek after His grace with our faith. We are going to experience something miraculously. So in chapter 4, 53. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. He himself believed, and all his whole household, because they experienced the grace of God. They touched the power of Jesus Christ. Right? And in verse 42, and they believe because they discerned what Jesus told them. And in chapter 2, verse 23, they witness the miracle performed by Jesus, so they believe. So you understand there are many different avenue we can believe in Jesus. You see it, you can believe. You hear it, you can believe. You touch it, you can believe. So we can know Jesus from different ways. But once we know Him, there is a common goal we have to pursue, which is mentioned in chapter 6, the bread of life. So in our church, you can see many people believe from different reasons. Some because of healing of sickness, some because of the second generation of faith of their parents, right? And some because of marriage, some because of a lot of different reasons come to the church. God have different way to guide the people to Him. But after belief, we have the same goal to pursue. Okay. And chapter 5, John chapter 5, healing a crippled man on the Sabbath. John chapter 5, a person who was crippled was healed by Jesus Christ on the Sabbath. So the main whole paragraph try to make a point Jesus is the law of Sabbath. However, he performed the miracle in the Sabbath. So what he did was very controversial. So from chapter 5 or chapter 7, when we go into the chapter 7, we are going to see a very controversial figure, which is Jesus Christ. We are going to elaborate more. And chapter 5, there was chapter 5 verse 2, there was in Jerusalem by Sheep Gate a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, which was five porticos. 3. In this day there a multitude of invalid, a blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. You can see this person is very pitiful, not only because he was unable to walk, but also he cannot live a normal life. He had to rely on others. So a lot of people carry him here. Verse 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another step down before me." Because they have a we can say it's a superstition, or they have a belief. If the water start to move, the first one go into the water will be cured. And this person was crippled for 38 years. Anytime when somebody rumor the water is moving, he was so anxious, try to go in, but a lot of people are in rush before him. So in his view, he has no hope at all, because nobody was waiting to help him, to put him into the water when the water was moving. So this story tried to tell us, in the eyes of this crippled person, it seems his fate was not under his own control. His fate was under control of somebody else. If somebody else had mercy on him, put him first in the water, then he may be cured. But he cannot find that kind of person. So he was being crippled for 38 years. But Jesus tried to tell him one thing, which means if you believe in Jesus, your faith will not be controlled by anybody. So, verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. So Jesus is the one who in control his destiny. Not anybody else in control his destiny. Also from this parable, true story happened, we also can have some kind of implication. We should not blame all our life, what happened to us, on somebody else. Just like you look into the life of Joseph, he was sold to Egypt. Maybe he could have a lot of reason to feel pitiful about himself. Right? He has a lot of reason to have resentment to his brothers. But eventually, Joseph understood one thing. My destiny is under the control of God. So originally, you have evil intention to me, but God's will is good. God tried to send me to preserve the life of the whole family. So this person, before he met Jesus, it seems he has no control about himself, his own future. But after he met Jesus Christ, Jesus gave him the future. So our future is at the hand of Jesus Christ. If you believe him, you are close to him, he will be in control of your future. And your future will be good. Okay. And from verse 10 onwards, now there is an argument between the very traditional people who keep the Judaism and Jesus Christ who hear the sickness. Let's see verse 13. And now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. And afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse before you." Okay. Jesus commanded this person, "You can be cured because it is the grace of God. So from now on, you should sin no more. You should live a holy life. If you commit sin again, maybe the worst thing is going to come back to you." Yeah, a lot of we can see some of the incident happen in the church. I myself, personal witness, a young girl she was dumb when she was born until the age of 8. She was unable to speak. And later on, her mother brought the girl to the church, and they studied the truth, and later on, they were baptized. The day they were baptized, when they come back from the Bethima site before the Holy Communion, at that time in the church they have a lunch, right? And this girl started to open the mouth and say, "I'm very hungry. I want to eat something." It's a miracle. After the baptism, the girl was able to speak, and everybody feels so happy. The miracle happened after the baptism. But after 2 years later, the mother went back to worship the idol. And as soon as the mother went back to see the idol, the girl later become dumb again, cannot speak anymore. So really, it happened in our church. Same with a demonic one, possessed by demon. I come to our church and pray, the demon been cast out. And they don't commit serious sin, mortal sin, and the demon come back. Or eat the food, worship the idol, and the demon come back. So once we receive the grace of God, we should keep ourselves holy. So the grace of God can remain in us forever, in our whole life. If we defy ourselves, and God leave us, our condition may be worse than before. Okay. Now, 16. How did Jesus defend himself? This is why the Jews persecute Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working still, and I am working." So Jesus followed the Father's command and do his work. The reason he performed the miracle in the Sabbath day, because the Father is working. God wants him to perform the miracle in the Sabbath day. And this answer triggered another offensive from the Jews. Verse 18. And this way, this was why Jews sought all more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own father, making him equal with God. So you see, the Pharisees are so fervent in keeping the Judaism, but the Pharisees try to kill Jesus. Why? Because they were blind spiritually, and they were ignorant about Jesus Christ. So they try to do something. Actually, they are knowing what they are doing. So from the incident, we understand not only we should have zeal, but we also have true knowledge. Use the true knowledge to guide our zeal, so that our service to God can be acceptable before God. You see Paul, right? Why did Paul persecute Christians? Can anybody give an answer? Why did Paul persecute Christians? Yes. Paul persecuted Christians not because of jealousy, but because of zeal, according to the book of Philippians. In order to defend Judaism, he persecuted Christians. But later on, he converted to Christ. He understood that he persecuted the Christian was wrong, and out of his own ignorance. So it's very important, we have to serve God with zeal, but not only that, with the true knowledge. And start from 19 onwards. Start from chapter 5, 19 onwards. Jesus tried to explain or defend his authority, or try to explain his relationship with God. How come he was able to heal the sickness? How come he was healed the sickness in the Sabbath day? So try to explain to them from verse 19 onwards to the end. When Jesus under this kind of persecution, Jesus did not withdraw himself. So we can see his commitment or his conviction to fulfill God's will is so strong. This is give us a very good example. If you want to do the holy work, the work of God, you must be prepared to suffer. Yeah. Can you find anyone in the Bible serve God a lot and never suffer? Can you find anybody? Anybody? Can you find anyone serve God so much, so long and never suffer? Nobody. So once you decide to serve God, you have to be prepared to suffer. And that kind of suffer may not be physically. Sometimes it's mentally. And sometimes it's spiritually. Spiritually means that Satan tried to attack you. Mentally means somebody tried to isolate you or try to say something against you. And physically, maybe because you have to live an environment which is totally different from what it used to be. So if a person tried to accomplish God's entrustment without a preparation of suffering, sooner or later, the person is going to leave the ministry of God. So you see the Peter, John, and James, right? When they were in advanced age, how did they die? None of them died so-called in a very peaceful way, right? When you are in advanced age, you are supposed to in your own home and spend time with your son, your grandson, and live a long, long life, and you die, right? But it did not happen in that way to all the servants of God. Some of them been beheaded, been martyred, and some of them been exiled to the island. They had gone through a lot of suffering. So sometimes when we see our comfortable environment in the United States, really it's a challenge for us to dedicate ourselves to serve God. But you look into Jesus, he already set example for us. He will strengthen us. Verse 19, now Jesus tried to explain his relation with God. Verse 19 say, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son does likewise. So actually, Jesus is just like an agent. The one who is in control of him is the one in above, is the Father. So when we follow the step of Jesus, means we are doing the holy work in the church. However, the one who is in control of us is God himself. He is in control of us. If we can reach to that kind of status, then our servitude will praise God and will be remembered by God. Will really edify the church. So Jesus said, whatever the Son do, because the Father do it. Verse 20. For the Father loved the Son and showed him all that he himself is doing, and the greater work than this will he show him, and you men marvel. So the first main point is talking about the thing Jesus was doing. Actually, it's coming from the instruction of the Father. It's not coming from his own will. This is first point. He tried to explain his relation with God. He's just like an agent. The second is talking about the authority of judgment. Verse 22. The Father judged no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Verse 23, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And you can see, God gives the authority of judgment to the Son. So the Son has authority of judgment. And this authority will bring the honor to Jesus Christ. If you look into the book of Acts about the apostolic church, right? The judgment comes so fast to the apostolic church, right? Who was judged in the apostolic church? Ananias, right? Peter was filled by the Holy Spirit, right? And God is moving him to do something. To make a judgment. So Peter was not doing by his own, right? If Peter was doing by his own, whatever Peter speak will never happen, right? When Peter say, you die here, Ananias maybe just walk away. Because he is talking by himself. But when Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit, his God is working. And Peter is just like an agent. He do something. He say something on behalf of Jesus Christ. So Peter said, why did you cheat the church, the Holy Spirit? Right. And Ananias collapsed. Right. And a few hours later, the wife waiting for Ananias for dinner. How come we never come? And looking for Ananias to the church. Where is my husband? Peter said, come. Is this all your money? The wife said, yes. Peter's wife said, why you cooperate with each other to cheat the Holy Spirit? The young man who carried to bury your husband had already come and collapsed and died there. Right? The judgment come. Now, the authority has been given by Jesus to Peter. And then what happened to the church? What happened to the church? Everybody fear God, honor Jesus Christ. Right? We don't like to see, but if, I must only say if, today in Pacifica somebody died and carried to bury. I tell you, everybody comes Sabbath without repentance, you dare not to come. Jesus is here. Without repentance, you dare not to come. So the church, on the one hand, has a mercy seat. God is going to give you grace. But in the church, in another one, is the way to show God justice. God is going to judge. And later on, we are going to study more. So the authority give to Jesus, people can honor him. Right? If you see the police in UK and police in United States, what's the difference? What's the difference? Police in UK, no gun. Right? Very civilized. If you send this kind of police to the drug area in the United States, we'll disappear there. Right? No authority. And authority comes from your weapon. Right? Oh, this is some kind of... Oh. But spiritually speaking, if we don't have authority, now if Jesus has no authority, nobody is going to respect him. Right? Now he has authority, so everybody respects him. Oh. So, okay. Now, so the second one is talk about the judgment. Huh? The third one is talk about the resurrection. Huh? God give the authority to Jesus Christ, so Jesus Christ can be in control of people's life. Huh? Okay, yeah, 21, chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and give him life, so also the Son give life to whom he will. So the Son has authority to give life to whom he will. And the authority comes from the Father, God himself. And then, 25. Truly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. The voice of the Son of God. Whom was he? It's Jesus. And those who hear will live. Okay. Can you give example? Anyone hear the Son of God and resurrected? Anyone? Nazareth. Yes. He died 4 days at Bethsmail already. But Jesus went there and call the name of Nazareth. The dead can hear the voice and the resurrected, right? Dead are supposed to have no feeling, right? No matter how you call, right? The dead has no feeling. But when Jesus talked to the dead, and the dead had feeling and response and get up. Oh, because the words of Jesus but is spirit and is life. So powerful. So when we speak, our speech are different from Jesus, because his words is come, the authority come from God. But if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, if filled by the power of God, your words has power too. So I think you heard some of the testimony in our church before, there are 2-3 people try to go to a family to cast out the demon. And the demon is very smart. Before the 2-3 person arrive, the demon already say, 3 people is coming. Only the one who is tallest, I'm afraid of that one. The other people, I don't care. Right? Right. And when the minister come and pray and cast out the demon in the name of Jesus, the demon just left the person. So the minister, the words had power, and the power come from God, authority of Jesus Christ. Now let's see. Verse 27. And has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in tomb will hear his voice and come forth. Let me ask another question. In the Jesus' second coming, who is going to resurrect it? Who is going to resurrect? Is a believer or a non-believer? Let me make a survey. Believer or a non-believer? Anybody you feel... When Jesus said come in, believer is going to resurrect? Raise your hand. Yes, right? Or non-believer is going to resurrect? Raise your hand. Only a few, but you read to the bottom and you find the answer. Right? 28, huh? For the hour is coming when all who are in tomb will hear his voice. All, 29, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So who will resurrect in the second coming of Jesus? Everybody. Well, those who believe will be resurrected for life, eternal life. And those who don't believe will be resurrected for judgment and condemnation. Okay. And then, start from verse 31 to 40. 31 to 40. The witness for Jesus Christ. That actually, he and God are one. He is very close relation with God. Right? 31 to 34, 35 is talking about the testimony of John the Baptist. The mission of John the Baptist is to bear testimony for Jesus. He's a forerunner for Jesus Christ. And 36 is talk about the work of Jesus. The work Jesus has done is to prove that Jesus has authority and he is God himself. And 37 to 40, the witness of the scripture. Right, that Jesus is coming from above. 39 is a very important verse. 39. You search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they who bear witness to me. In the scripture, there is eternal life. Because scripture was the words of God. So the words of God has eternal life. However, 40, yet you don't want to come to me to get the life. Okay. 40, from 41 to 47, talking about Jesus condemned the Jews. Jews, they believe in God, but in the eyes of Jesus Christ, they have no spiritual life at all. They have the knowledge, but they don't have spiritual life. 41. I do not receive glory from man. 42. But I know that you have not the love of God within you. 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If anyone come in his own name, him you will receive. So Jesus said, you have no love of God within you. Why? If you have the love of God within you, I am the one come from God. You must love me. And I come from God and you don't want to accept me. Means you have no love of God in you. This is a first, this is the reason Jesus condemned them. And then, 44. How can you believe who receive the glory from one another and do not seek the glory come from the only God? Why did Jesus say so? In the chapter 8, you can see that Jesus healed a blind person. Right? And a lot of people know that the blind person was cured by Jesus, but nobody dared to come forward to proclaim it was Jesus who healed the person because they were afraid. Driven out from the synagogue. So they care about how people feel about them. They care less about how God feels upon them. So they care about the glory from human being, not the glory of God. Okay. So it's obvious, to glorify each other in the kingdom of God. This is a no-no. So in the church, we come to the church not to socialize. Right? What's the difference? If you go to a socialized gathering, social gathering, Everybody are well dressed. Everybody praise each other, right? I praise your clothes, you praise my tie. I praise your achievement, you praise my children. I praise your car, you praise my boat. Everybody praise each other. When you go back home, you are so wonderful feeling. Yeah, because a lot of praise come together with you. So we come to the church, we are not doing that, right? If we are doing that, we are not praising God. We are not glorifying God. Everything we have, everything we are better than others, it is all for the glory of God. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we emphasize too much on self-glory, we praise too much, give too cheap praise to others, we deprive the glory of God. So this is what we have to pay very close attention. Do you know there are two ways you can make a friend very quickly? One is from positive, other from negative. The positive, you continue praise him. Oh, you are so good. You are so nice. Very close. You very short moment, you can feel the person very close to you, right? You can try. If it doesn't work, you come back to me. The other way, negative way is you tell a person, I tell you a secret of your enemy. You will be the friend in that right moment. But these two ways are not biblical at all. So this is chapter 5. That's one step up. Chapter 6. We have to encourage each other, but it's different from praise, right? Do you know why Saul tried to kill David? Of course, Saul has to be responsible, right? But there is an indirect reason why. The woman are responsible, because the woman just tried to praise, right? David killed 10,000 and Saul killed 1,000, and then from that on, the Saul feel jealousy and want to kill David. So woman should be partly blamed. So we should not give too cheap praise to others. Encourage is okay, but don't praise others so cheaply. Chapter 6 actually is trying to use multiplying the bread and one step further to teach them the bread of the life. In the book of John, there are many different kind of similar occasion happen. From the hearing of the blind, then talk about I am the light of this world. And from resurrect the dead and proclaim I am the life. And from multiply the bread and proclaim I am the bread. So there's a similarity from your daily experience and one step further go into the spiritual teaching. So the first part we are going to discuss Jesus multiply the bread. Because the time is almost up, I have to very quickly go through chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 15. The first point is Jesus cared for the people's needs. So Jesus teach them until almost the sunset, everybody hungry. Jesus had compassion for them because some of them had to go back and walk a long journey. So Jesus multiplied for them and multiplied bread to feed them. So this is to show the love of Jesus Christ. So in the church, the same. In the church, in the beginning of TJC, in the Sabbath day, lunchtime, if you want to eat a lunch, you have to register your name and they have to collect money, $1, $2. In the beginning, because at that time, everybody very poor. But right now, nobody do this, right? If you want to eat, you are free. You are free. Because this is a way to show love. Right? The more you eat, the more you feel the love of God, right? Okay. And because of this, a lot of people have been touched by the love in the church. They contribute more than what they eat. Right? If you collect the money or $2 a meal, okay, I already pay a price. I don't want to offer because I already pay a price. And they are never touched by the love of God. So this is the first point. The second point, the fact Jesus has abundant grace and power, abundant power to perform the grace. So only a little kids bring their 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and can be multiplied to feed 5,000. Oh. So what does that mean? The power of Jesus was able to give you abundant grace. Don't look that there is only 5 bread and 2 fishes. Oh. You have to look into how powerful our Heavenly Father is. No. So don't look in your difficulty. What kind of resources you have? You have limited resources, right? But look at the power of God. Under His blessing, your limited resources can benefit a lot of people. This is trying to teach us. By His almighty power, He has abundant grace. Don't worry. As long as you have Jesus abide in you. The third point, do not abuse the grace of God. Verse 12. I think this is very important. Verse 12. And then when they had eaten till full, He told His disciples, gather up the fragment that over, that nothing may be lost. Those who falling down on the ground, collect it back, and don't waste of it. So what does that mean to us? Of course, today we don't collect anything falling on the ground, right? But the meaning is, we have to treasure the grace of God. Don't abuse it. For example, if we have meal, especially the young kids, they put a lot of food in a plate because they think it's delicious. But in the middle, they feel I'm full, I cannot eat it. So all the food dumped into the trash can. That's not very good from the eyes of God. We eat the portion we can take, and after everybody has a share, we come back to a second serve. By doing so, we will not waste, and also that everybody has some portion to share, to eat. And the third point, fourth point, Jesus withdrew Himself. After He performed the miracle, everybody want to ask Him to be a king, and He withdrew Himself. And this afternoon, we try to elaborate a little bit, and we come into Jesus is the bread of the life.